Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Who's worried about the Predators? Ian, are you worried about the Predators?
Not totally.
So, I will say this. Adam Vingan did some, I just saw Keezer tweeted this out. Actually, Vingan sent it to me from Keezer. That Vingan sent this to me from a Keezer tweet that is Vingan's research. So apparently, over the last 10 years, of all the teams that have started off 0-4 or worse, only the 2019-2020 Minnesota Wild that lost the play-in round, only they have made the playoffs for a team that started 0-4. So that is absolutely inauspicious. That being said, how worried are we that they're 0-4? For me, I'm not super worried. How disappointed? I'm disappointed. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. And I do think that right now this record, this 0-4, is a giant cloud that is over the team's head. And it only gets darker and larger with each one of these losses that comes after it. It really started, and it's funny because it snowballed kind of quickly, right? They lost the Dallas game where they hit a post with 10 seconds to go. They played their backup goalie who stinks, and he had a bad second period, and you lose to Dallas. Dallas is a cup contender. It is what it is. It happens. Then you go on the road Saturday, you lose to Detroit. Not very good, but again, you know, it's like baseball. You'll lose games here and there. Then they lost to Seattle. And then last night. And I didn't even think they played horribly last night. I was at the game. I mean, I was excited to watch those big boys for Edmonton. And those big boys for Edmonton did not do what the big boys from Edmonton normally do. Now, McDavid had a sick goal in which I don't know how his reflexes and mind move as fast as they do. You know, puck hits somebody's body, and he's already, before you can even blink, he's already moved the puck around the guy's body, given himself just a little room to operate, and then puts the puck right in the top corner of the goal. I mean, it's incredible. But again, I'm worried about this giant cloud that's over this team's head. So here's the deal. They have to win tomorrow night. They absolutely, positively have to win tomorrow. So if I'm the Predators, I'm playing UC Saros tomorrow night. I know he played tonight, or he played last night. I know that they usually like to play him on Tuesday and Thursday and then play the other guy on Saturday. I know they've got the Boston Bruins in town on Tuesday, and I'm still playing UC Saros. This is what the $7.74 million is for. Because they absolutely, positively have to beat Detroit. They can't start the year 0-5. Can't do it. So I play Saros, and I make sure everybody there knows, hey, the intensity of this one, it's like a playoff game. You need to win it. I think there was kind of an assumption that was made by the team, and I think Jonathan Marchessault kind of referenced this last night, that just because they added him and Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea, that all of a sudden they were now good and didn't have to work for it. And now they're learning, no, we still have to work for it in order to be good. And that's okay. But I would say this. If I'm the Predators and I lose tomorrow, and I'm 0-5, and I'm staring Boston down on Tuesday night, which is 0-6, then I'm making changes. We will not have that same lineup against the Boston Bruins that we would have that got us to 0-5. That's if we lose on Saturday. Guys are going down. Guys are coming up. I don't care. Well, you know, he had a better camp. I don't care. At some point, you got to shake the room up if you're going to start off 0-5. If you're not doing the things that, again, it's the little things that are why you lose these games. If you're not doing them, shake it up. And I don't just mean with line changes. I'm not saying go out there and make a trade, and it's too early to fire the coach, and I wouldn't fire the coach because I think he's a good coach. But I'm making changes. I'm going down to Milwaukee, and I'm getting guys. Because, again, the data tells you, Over the last 10 years, not one of these teams, not one of these teams has started off 0-4 and has actually made it to the real playoffs. Again, in 2020, Minnesota made it to the play-ins, not the playoffs, and they lost. This is supposed to be a cup-contending team. And look, Colorado is 0-4 too. Now, do I think Colorado's going to miss the playoffs this year? No, I don't. But let's not kid ourselves. Colorado's got problems. You know, they've got Landeskog's never going to be healthy again. Is it Nichushkin, Ian, that's always in trouble over there?
Mm-hmm.
He's still in trouble.
Yeah.
And then I think somebody else is it? It's one of those guys that somebody else is hurt over there in Colorado. I still think they'll make the playoffs too. But the facts are the facts. And the facts are nobody started off 0-4 and made the playoffs except for Minnesota in 2020 that made the play-ins. And then 0-5, nobody has. So Saturday night's a playoff game to me. Saturday night is a you got to win it. And I understand, hey, these things take time and these guys have to gel. And it's like we were talking to Hal yesterday on the show, and Hal said, you know, the hard part about Burnett's system. Remember, the first half of last year, Roman Josi wasn't very good. The second half of last year, Roman Josi was the best defenseman on the planet. And the thing that Hal said was, it's all about anticipation with Burnett. So you've got to know where the guy's going to be so that you send the puck to where he's going to go instead of trying to send the puck where he is. And I saw some of that last night on the power play. And I'm like, guys, get it and go. It's like every little thing, there's like a little hitch. You know, they get it off to the side to Stamkos, and Stamkos has to adjust to it to get it on his tape for that one. Let it fly, babe. Well, you can still figure all that stuff out and win games while you're figuring it out. So you need to win on Saturday, and then you can get back to figuring out whatever you want to figure out. You just got to get this win. And if not, there have to be some changes. So am I happy about it? No, I am not happy. But I'm also not going crazy because they lost at home last night to Edmonton, and they always lose at home to Edmonton. The games that bother me are the one in Detroit where Cam Talbot posted a shutout, and if it wasn't in the middle of a football weekend, I would have texted Chris Mason and said, Cam Talbot, I told you. And even Tuesday against Seattle, you need to win at home against Seattle when you're 0-3. Those are the ones that bother me. Not so much last night where, again, you lost because McDavid made a McDavid play. And there's a huge difference between 0-6, which I think they're looking at if they lose tomorrow, and 1-4. So they need to start winning a game. And let me say this, by the way. We're going to introduce a new term here, Ian. Let me say this to the Rand Club. You know, like Rand's fan club?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me say this to the Rand Club that thinks I have a personal vendetta against Rand, or other than the fact that I just think the administration has been operating incredibly incompetent over the last 2 years trying to build the Titans. You know, one of the claims that the Rand Club has is that I give Barry Trotz preferential treatment because Barry Trotz comes on the show. Let me say this. If they're 0-5 on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, I don't think it's going to be a fun conversation. Now, I like talking to Barry Trotz, and I like the fact that Barry Trotz, when he's been on our show, has called it like he's seen it. But it's not going to be a fun conversation to sit down with him and say, 0-5? And the Bruins? So am I worried, or do I think the season's in serious danger? No, I don't. But they need to win on Saturday. They need to win. Need it. And if they don't, there can't be an excuse. There need to be some changes if they don't win on Saturday. Because at that point, 5 games in, again, not the end of the world, but it's a pretty bad sign. By the way, there's another Preds nugget. Apparently, after this weekend, what they're going to do is they're rebranding Bally Sports. Ian, did you see this?
No.
They're rebranding Bally Sports FanDuel Sports.
Oh, boy.
So the channel will be the same. The place where you get it, if you get it, will be the same. The amount you pay for it, I assume, will be the same. It'll just have different logos and be called something different, and hopefully they'll get rid of that terrible Bally music. And then they'll put, like, Kay Adams Show, which is, like, shot at her house on, like, a webcam. They'll put that out there on there every day. And FanDuel's trying to launch a sports network, so they're going to rebrand Bally, and it's going to be the FanDuel Sports Southeast or whatever.
Interesting.
But it'll be the same. It'll just have a different name. And then we'll wait for the one more year that the Predators have to play on it, and hopefully that'll be that.
Hopefully the app will be new and improved.
No, it is not. Same app. So the same place that you get all that, same stuff. It's all the same. For, again, that's at least the memos. You know, they sent out a press release. The Bally people, it was kind of funny because it's like the guy that sends it out is a PR guy for Bally Sports. And it's like so-and-so at ballysports.com. And it's like, I'm going to be FanDuelSports.com soon. Very, very soon. One texter says, your Tuesday conversation with Trotz is going to be like Jerry Jones' conversation on the Dallas radio station. First of all, I don't think it's going to be that way. I don't foresee Barry Trotz saying the, I pay you. Because Barry Trotz doesn't pay me. But let me just say this. Now, I like those guys. I don't know Shan. I don't know him. But I do know R.J. Choppy, and I like R.J. Choppy. He's a good man. R.J. Choppy's the one that told me in the summer that the Cowboys did so little in the offseason that the fans were like, please talk Dallas Stars, Dallas Mavericks, or Texas Rangers, and do not talk Dallas Cowboys because we're just so depressed with how our team didn't do anything. If an owner or a coach or a GM or somebody started firing off some stuff like that with me, I wouldn't, like, laugh it off and try to play it off. I mean, there'd be some, no, you don't come in the house talking like that. Not on this show. And that's why I think, for the most part, those people try not to come on the show. 615-737-1025, Corey Curtis News 2 next here on Stillman and Company. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the South Point 400. Coverage will begin at 12:30, and the race is set to start at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and Joe Dubin from 11 to 1 tomorrow at Hope Fest 2024, a family-friendly festival celebrating hope found in the faith and recovery community. The event will be held at the Bethel Church of the Nazarene at 455 Broadmoor Drive in Nashville from 11 to 2 with free food, games for the kids, mental health and recovery resources are available. And the Tennessee Titans Alumni Association will be on hand with their vaccination clinic. For more details, go to thegamenashville.com/events. In the preseason, while wearing a Tennessee Titans polo, Corey Curtis said that it was a slam dunk this year that Will Levis would throw for 4,000 yards. On Sunday against the Colts, he threw for 95 yards. Corey Curtis joins us now on the program. So, Corey, I want to start here.
Yeah.
Every week I feel like we argue about this. Are you ready to give up on the season and give up on the quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, it's all really disappointing right now. I mean, for sure. I mean, but am I ready to just say, well, he can't ever be good? No, I'm not. I mean, am I discouraged? Sure, absolutely. I didn't see it looking like this. I don't think anybody saw it looking, like this. And so I'm discouraged. Have I entirely given up? No. Do I have questions? Absolutely. Absolutely. I just don't think some guy stinks. I try to figure out what's going on. And that's what I've been preoccupied with, is trying to figure out what's going on with the guy where he just doesn't look anything like he looked last year.
Now, I'll agree with you on that. So what is going on with him?
This is purely speculative for me. I think he's got too much happening at once. And I think he's thinking too much and not playing. I don't know if it's a matter of giving him the whole novel instead of a few chapters. I think the turnovers got in his head, and I think he's second guessing himself. And I just think that there's way too much happening up there right now, for him, rather than just playing the game.
How much of that do you think is the coach's fault for not being able to kind of read the room when it comes to what Levis was capable of processing and dealing with? And how much of that is his fault? And how much of that is kind of the organization's fault for maybe expecting too much of him.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you can question, you know, how much he was ready to handle. You know, look, if a guy handles it in practice, you think he can handle it, you know, in the game. And, you know, how many times did they do install? Like 3-4 times, you know, from the summer to the start of the season. So, I mean, I can understand where you think he's got it. But, I mean, look, everybody bears responsibility in it. There's no question about it, you know. And, you know, I'm going to say something that other people are going to disagree with. I think everybody freaks out way too much about the turnovers because, yes, they're ugly and they were terrible and, you know, there was no excuse for a couple of them. But young quarterbacks turn the football over, largely. I mean, you know, Drake May threw two interceptions and a turnover the other day. I mean, shoot, Patrick Mahomes is throwing an interception in every game this season. You know, the difference is can you overcome those? Do you make things to make up for him? Do you have skins on the wall? And he doesn't right now, and he's not overcoming them enough right now. But I think as an organization, I think you need to let him play and accept the fact that he's going to turn it over a time or two each game, you know, because he's a young quarterback, and that's generally what they do. As I said, you know, Jordan Love had that streak where he had no touchdowns and 7 interceptions in 4 games. You know, they didn't give up on him. They didn't give up on him. They let him keep playing. I'm not saying he's Jordan Love. So I'm just saying if you're going to let him play and kind of accept the terms of it and see what happens.
How much blame do you assess to Brian Callahan with the state of the Titans right now?
Well, I mean, he's the head coach, right? So he's responsible for the conduct of crew. So, I mean, it starts and it ends with him. You know, he would tell you that they've lost 3 by 1 score, and he's right. You know, they're not last in the league in scoring. I know they're 31st in offense, but they're like 21st in scoring. You know, I hate to say, you know, it's the old coach speak. You're a player two away, but you are a player two away in a lot of these games. You know, you go back.
Well, you're
to
a
last
player
week,
two away from beating backup quarterbacks. I don't think you're a player two away from beating good teams.
I would agree with that. You know, but look, we all know that success breeds success. And I think we can all say that this team could use a dose of confidence. And we all know that in the NFL, the separation between the good teams and the bad teams really isn't that far. I mean, heck, look at the Washington Commanders. They got Jaden Daniels in there, and he's got them looking, you know, like a completely different football team. You know, and the head coach, of course. But, you know, you go to the 3rd-and-1 play up 17-13, and you fail. That's a big fail. I mean, that's a play that changes the game. That's an opportunity to put that game away if you can complete that drive and you can't convert on a 3rd-and-1. And that's, you know, that's just one simple play, you know, to look from. And I'm sure we can pick out 10 other ones where Will should have thrown the ball here. You know, this guy should have thrown his block for a half a second longer. You know, we can do that all day long, and probably with the Colts, you know, on the other side of the football. And I always say you're never as good as you are on your best day, never as bad as you are on your worst. So, look, he's the head coach. It starts and it finishes with him. You know, Will is his quarterback, so Will's performance is on Will and it's on him. And, you know, what do we say? We got to play better, we got to coach better. They both have to. And if they don't, they're going to continue, you know, to lose football games.
I'm worried he's on the verge of losing the team.
Which one?
Brian Callahan. I think Levis has already lost the team. I think Callahan's on the verge of losing the team.
And that's a nightmare scenario.
I hear this from Derek a lot. You know, Derek has been saying for weeks that if Callahan keeps backing Levis, eventually he'll lose the team. And then when Calvin Ridley vented his frustrations about his targets early in the game, Derek said that his interpretation of this was that the receivers coach is trying to hold it all together and that Ridley and Hopkins and Boyd and those guys they've had enough of the quarterback. And when Levis volunteered that they didn't have a good practice on Wednesday after the embarrassment that they had against the Colts on Sunday, mm-hmm. I think that this locker room is kind of bowing its head down and saying, we suck. Like, and it's not that anybody wants to say it. It's not like anybody's walking in the building saying, guys, we suck today. But it's just this knowledge that they know that they stink and that there's no excuse for why they're losing these games other than the fact that they stink. And I think that's going to be really hard for Brian Callahan to manage the right way.
Well, I mean, look, losing is not the easiest thing to handle, especially when, you know, look, usually teams know when they're going to stink, that it's going to be a long year. And I, you know, look, how many games did you have this Titans team winning this year? Seven or eight?
Like 5 to 7, but yeah.
5 to 7. I said 7 or 8. So neither of us thought this team was going to be a world beater this year. But I think it's fair to say we both expected them to look better than they have.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect them to get trounced by Malik Willis at home.
Like, yeah, no, that was humiliating. Yeah, that was humiliating.
That's the kind of stuff where it's like, and even last week, you know, we talk about they scored 17 points or whatever against the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
And without its best corner, without its best player, and they still scored 17. Like, that's inexcusable.
Well, and they didn't look like a team that could threaten to move the ball down the field against one of the worst pass defenses in the league. And it was just it's one of those mystifying head-scratchers to watch and think how – because that's when it's not the Colts. That's when you're just getting in your own way. And, you know, that's what they looked like they're getting – I mean, I know that people have mapped this out, and they're right. I think it was the second play of the game when he threw the screen out to Pollard up to the right side, and he had Ridley on the slant. And
What did you make of Nick Holes coming out yesterday saying the second play of the game was designed to go to Ridley and he didn't throw it there?
Well, if you look at the play, you can see why.
But that's throwing the quarterback under the bus.
Yes, it is, and that's why I wonder if this is the precursor to, hey, we're going to have to make a change if it doesn't get better. You know, laying the groundwork.
Mm. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week?
You know what? I've never seen a team get clowned like the Dallas Cowboys. The Detroit Lions ran 3 plays for offensive linemen. 3 plays in one game to get offensive linemen the football.
Well, wasn't that really more about the referees than it was the Cowboys?
What?
Like, they were doing that because they were mad about what happened last year when they lost to Dallas and they didn't declare the guy ineligible and the refs, you know, the one ref recognized it.
The Cowboys to get back at the referees?
I think they were there to make a point.
Yeah, they were there to make a point that we're a really good team, and they did. And Dallas has got to burn it all down because it's not good enough. They gave a quarterback $60 million a year who's a good quarterback, but hasn't proven he can win any big games. They've got an owner who thinks he's a GM, and he's not. And they're just – they're 30 years without a Super Bowl, Jared. 30.
Yeah, well, the Titans are going on 60.
Well, that's fine. But at least, you know, the Titans have – I mean, I'll bet in the last 20, the Titans have more playoff victories than they do. I'm going to have one? I mean, come on. They're a mess.
They are a mess. Corey Curtis, as always, on our program. Corey, great stuff.
Oh, yeah. I heard you're guaranteeing a Bills victory. That is a massive limb you've crawled out on.
Well, I just don't think anybody over here or over there in that building has been paying attention to the Bills this week, so feel pretty strongly about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be a total housing, and I think the Titans' defense stinks, even though they're ranked number one in the NFL.
Well, okay. Well, because of the opposition that they played?
Yeah, we're going to see him play a real quarterback this week, and I bet it doesn't look as good.
Yeah, if they let him roll to his right, it's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on our program. Speaking of Sunday and the Bills game, be sure to join us for the award-winning pregame show live at Twin Peaks from 9:30 to 11:30. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.
Calvin was 0 for 8 on Sunday. Caught a third of the passes you guys have thrown his direction this season. How much of that do you think is you being off target to him?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, they definitely could have thrown some better balls to them here and there. But, you know, it's not something that we can point fingers at or whose fault it is. But he knows, you know, I can be better. I know he can be better. And we all know we can be better at everything that we're doing. And we're all just trying to work as hard as we can to get those numbers up and trust that, you know, the connection that we know is can be, you know, fruitful for us is gonna get there.
So that was Will Levis talking about, hey, I know that we're going to get this worked out. I can be better. He can be better, which I didn't like. I would prefer that Will Levis would get up there and he would say, like, hey, I am going to figure out how to get him the ball, and we're going to take advantage of what the defense gives us, and that's been our plan the whole time, and Calvin's a big part of that. We're very excited where we're going. You know, something a little bit more politically correct as far as quarterback speech is concerned. So, again, Calvin Ridley was upset about his targets at the beginning of the game on Sunday, even though he got 8 targets and didn't catch any of them. Then, after being upset about his targets, Calvin Ridley, I guess, kind of recanted during the week. Callahan said it wasn't. Actually, Callahan thinks it's a good thing. Levis didn't seem to take it too personally. That might be. But then yesterday, the offensive coordinator, Nick Holt, went up to the podium, and he was asked about Calvin Ridley not getting the ball, and I was stunned by what I heard out of the Titans offensive coordinator.
That being said, with Ridley, obviously he had the frustration. Mm-hmm. He wants the ball early. You guys have all talked about getting the ball early. It was 2 targets. I don't think he got his first one until the second quarter.
Yeah.
What's your explanation for that?
Well, like the second play of the game, he should get the ball. Right, he had a slant route on the backside. Second play of the game, the ball should go to him. We get fooled by the coverage and the look. We end up throwing the bubble to the right. And he sees that. And we know Calvin's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. Coaches are frustrated. Will's got frustrated. You know, you go and throw the ball for 90 yards, everybody's going to be frustrated. So it was good for us to sit down, kind of everybody see how it all looked, how it all fits together, and everybody left feeling pretty good about it or better about it.
I was shocked. Why? Because the offensive coordinator said, I mean, you look at the second play of the game, we're supposed to get that ball to Calvin, and we got fooled. We got fooled and checked it to the bubble screen to Tony Pollard? Ian, do you think we got fooled?
Maybe.
Or do you think he got fooled?
We, the offense, the offensive line, everybody? Probably
he,
just
the quarterback. Well, I mean, we were supposed to get him the ball, but we got fooled. Who do you think he's talking about? Where is he pointing the finger? He's pointing the finger at the quarterback. And I was kind of shocked. And I'm shocked for 2 reasons. Number one, I've never heard that before. Like, Malarkey, again, you can complain about the old coaches, whatever you want. Malarkey never came out and threw Marcus under the bus. Neither did Rubisky. Vrabel never threw the quarterback under the bus. Even when he spiked the ball on 3rd down, Vrabel didn't throw the quarterback under the bus. Even when Will Levis was the quarterback, Vrabel would just act like a pissy pants and get all mad. But that's why, because he wasn't going to throw anybody under the bus. He's throwing the quarterback under the bus. And what I think's crazy is the dynamic here. Because Nick Holtz knows he has to talk to the media once a week. I don't know if they have prep sessions for getting ready to talk to the media. I think they should. If they don't, if I was running a football team, we would. But even if they don't, he had to know the Ridley question was coming, right? Callahan was asked about it on Monday. Levis was asked about it on Wednesday. Ridley was asked about it on Wednesday. He had to know that the 8 minutes that he goes up there on Thursday, he's going to be asked about it. So he had to have an idea of what he was going to say. And yet, no matter what Will Levis does, outside of the Monday press conference after the Bears game, Brian Callahan does not point fingers at Will Levis. Will Levis goes out there, throws for 95 yards, throws the stupidest interception, you know, goes, and Brian Callahan's like, oh, yeah, I see a lot of improvement with Will. But now it's the coordinator who's the one that points the finger in that direction. So now the coaching staff is pushing back on the quarterback. And what happened on Wednesday? On Wednesday was Will Levis's press conference. When Will Levis got up there and he talked about, we can do better and we didn't have a good practice and we need to get the play calls in faster and we... And remember how Derek went crazy? Because he said, you're throwing your coach under the bus. D-May said, you threw the coach under the bus on Sunday when you said your arm wasn't healed enough in order for you to throw the ball down the field, and you threw him under the bus when you said that they're not getting the play calls in fast enough, and you threw him under the bus when you said and volunteered that you didn't practice well on Wednesday. Callahan doesn't speak on Thursday. Nick Holes did. And he threw the quarterback under the bus. That's amazing to me. Boy, I tell you, you know what this sounds like? A successful operation. This guy's mad at that guy, and then this guy says he should be mad at this guy, and then this guy points a finger at that guy, and this guy's pointing fingers while he says he's not pointing fingers, and he's... And it's not going to get better. Like, it's not going to get better this week against Buffalo unless they pull a miracle out of his rear end. But I was stunned that in Sunshine Land, a coach pushed back and again threw the young guy under the bus. And I'm not saying Levis is a sacred cow. He's certainly not a sacred cow on this show. But what's the plan here? You're trying to keep the team on the same page. And so what you do is you send them up there every day to say, hey, we believe in the quarterback. We believe in the quarterback. We believe in the quarterback. Everybody's in this together. We're working together. We're proud of the quarterback. He's making great strides. Quarterback, 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 quarterback. The second coach is going to come up here. Quarterback screwed up. Ooh. I will tell you, this sounds like a well-run. This is when I think of team. This is what I think of, right? 615-737-1025. Speaking of Ridley and the complaining and the targets and what Levis said and what Holtz said and what Ridley said and what Callahan said, what one former Titans scout thinks the Titans are now going to do because of it and why Buffalo knows it too. That's next, 1025 The Game. Let's talk about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. Those are my guys. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. I've already had Hiller out to my house 3 times this month, and it is spooky season, and everyone is thinking about Halloween. And this month, it's all treats and no tricks with my friends at Hiller. So during their spooky good fall giveaway, get a free Blackstone griddle, solo stove, or Yeti Tundra cooler with select home upgrades. Or enjoy $99 specials like an HVAC tune-up. Visit happyhiller.com today for all the details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Did you get a chance to talk to Calvin at all?
Oh, yeah. Kind of yeah, absolutely. I talked to Calvin all the time. Yeah, he was great. And I told him my message to him was simple, is that I understand frustration, and I'm doing everything I can to continue to keep getting you going and get you active and early in games, late in games, whenever that may be. I love Calvin's passion. I love the way he plays. I love the way he practices. All those things are great. And I think we're on the same page. He's everything you want and the guys in our locker room. He's passionate and he wants to win. And I sure as heck want him to be a huge part of what we're doing. So I think we're both on the same page.
Ian, everything is good in Titan Land.
Oh, talk to Calvin all the time. Yeah, we talk all the time.
I mean, everything is good in Sunshine Land, Titan Land. So I was reading PaulKuharsky.com. Blake Bedingfield always has these game previews and game breakdowns. He's the former Titans director of college scouting, the guy that convinced the Titans to draft Derrick Henry. And I laughed out loud with this because it's the truth and everybody knows it. So we all know Ridley complained on Sunday after the game about his targets. Everybody talked about it. Callahan's now saying it was a good thing that Ridley did that. You know, he's everything you want. I'd like productive receivers, but other than that, yeah, he's everything I want, I guess. But it's kind of been the theme of the week, right? So how about this little nugget from Blake Bedingfield in his game preview at paulkarski.com ahead of the Bills game? Quote, Calvin Ridley was not happy with his lack of production after the game on Sunday. I expect Ridley to get targets early in the game, and the Bills should expect it too. That has been the trend with the Titans offense. If a player is not getting his targets or touches one week, the coaches appease him the next week by calling his number more often. AKA, the Titans coaching staff is so weak that instead of telling Ridley to hush, the Titans will appease him. You know he's right. Like, there's a part of me that wants to say, oh, God, I hope my coach wouldn't do that. But I know he's right. You know he's right. You know the first play of the game. The first play of the game is going to be a run. The second play is going to go to Ridley. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
Bubble screen.
They're going to throw the ball to Ridley because they're going to appease.
Like a little screen. Think they give him a little end around. Because they're going to have to do something like deliberate to get him the ball, because otherwise you can't ever tell with Levis.
They'll do it because that's what they do around here. And that's all they've done since they got here is appease everybody. That's the exact word. The word Blake used is the right word. Appeased. Everybody here gets appeased. Remember when they told Will Levis all offseason how great he was? They didn't bring in a real backup quarterback because they didn't want there to be any thought that Will Levis wasn't the guy. They appeased him at every turn. They highlighted Jeffrey Simmons as a leader, even though he isn't really a good leader. That's all they do. They just kiss everybody's bottom all the time. Which takes me back to Ridley. I tweeted this out earlier today because it's been on my mind all morning. Let's think about the last coaching staff. In 6 years, do you remember a single Titan player coming out and saying they were unhappy with how much they were getting the ball?
Getting the ball?
When Mike Vrabel was the coach.
Nothing stands out.
The only
maybe
thing
AJ Brown.
I don't ever remember AJ being upset about getting the ball. Do you remember AJ getting upset about getting the ball?
I guess not.
The one thing AJ got upset about was his contract, and they ended up trading him. The one guy that I remember getting upset about playing time publicly.
Matthews.
Rashad Matthews. And what happened to him?
They cut him.
Corey Davis didn't complain about getting the ball. Jonnu Smith didn't complain about getting the ball. A.J. Brown didn't complain about getting the ball. Derrick Henry didn't complain about getting the ball. Nobody complained about getting the ball when Mike Vrabel was the coach. And the reason why is because you knew if you did something like that, Mike Vrabel was going to make your life miserable. How do you think Mike Vrabel would have reacted Monday if somebody had said, Mike, so-and-so is unhappy with their targets early in the game? You target them 8 times. They didn't catch it. How do you think Vrabel would have reacted? You think appeasement would have been the word that we're using? I highly doubt that Mike would have pretended like it was a good thing. And I bet you that he wouldn't go to his offensive coaches and say, hey, guys, let's make sure to get Ridley the ball. Now, there's no doubt in my mind. There were times the guys came into Mike Vrabel's office or went to their position coaches or their coordinators and said, give me the ball. I'm sure there were times where guys went into Mike Vrabel's office and said, I want to be starting. I should be starting. And I'm sure there were confrontational conversations that had to be had. And that's fine. I also kind of see Vrabel as the guy who, you know, just like Belichick, and then cut somebody. But that's fine. But again, this idea of saying something publicly under Mike Vrabel, you would have never done that. But this is a new regime. And I go back to the parenting analogy I made. When Brian Callahan didn't throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice, I was at that practice. In fact, the first question when Callahan got up there, I said, why didn't you throw Simmons out of practice? And he must have thought that I said, why did you throw Simmons out of practice? Because he looked at me like I was a moron, and he said, I didn't throw him out of practice. I'm like, I know. Why didn't you? That's what I asked. And he's like, well, you know, I didn't think we needed to throw him out of practice. We didn't. It was the first day in pads. Jeffrey Simmons was acting like a total fool. You could see it coming a mile away. It's like old school baseball. You know that guy pimped that home run, and you know the next guy is getting 95 in the chest. And Brian Callahan didn't throw him out of practice. And I said that day, I go, look, the decision to throw somebody out of practice. Vrabel, his rule was you throw a punch in a game, you get kicked out. So you throw a punch in practice, you get kicked out. That was how Vrabel operated. And that's fine. That's what I believe. So when Brian Callahan didn't do it, I said, look, it's like parenting. You know, hey, I'm going to be a parent soon enough. And when I'm a parent, maybe I'll parent my kids differently than you would parent your kids. And you might be right. And I might be wrong. Or I might be right and you might be wrong. The one thing, and every parent has advice about parenting, the one thing everybody said is like, dude, you're going to figure it out as you go. Like that is, you know, Ian, you haven't said that to me, but I'm sure you probably feel a similar sentiment.
Yeah, there's some truth in that for sure.
So there's like, dude, you're going to figure this out as you go. But again, my parenting and Ian's parenting might not be the same. That doesn't mean his is wrong or mine's not. But when, again, Brian Callahan, you know, that was his style of parenting, is to not push back. And now we see the results and we see what's happening and we're questioning whether or not he's lost the team. That's a problem. That's a problem. And again, this would not have flown in the Mike Vrabel era. And I don't think this would have flown with Mike Mularkey either. I don't think Mike Mularkey would have been okay with a player coming out bitching about his targets. And instead, in Titan land, it's, no, that was a good thing. And now here's Blake Bedingfield saying, hey, when guys are unhappy about what their playing time is or their production, remember when they signed Tyler Boyd and Brian Callahan got up at the press conference and was like, Treylon Burks is still going to be a big part of our offense. We're going to get him the ball. He ran the fastest of anybody with the GPS tracker. He's going to, remember that? Appeasement. That's the perfect word. So, hey, Buffalo, they're throwing it to Ridley early this week. We'll see if they get better results. 615-737-1025. There is an excuse that is starting to be perpetuated by the Titans' terribleness. But it's not true. That's next, 1025 the game. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. You know it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. If you are going to have a great football weekend this weekend, or if you want to toast it up a little bit because it's starting to get chilly outside, Fireball Whiskey is the way to go. That's right. Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's my favorite. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.